Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 16, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter, November 16, 2020. As we develop, we become more differentiated, each one comprised of his I and the Creator, in contradiction to himself. Thus the future holds divisions of everyone and each person, and the means of conciliation is not for one person to suppress another, but for each one to come out of his own nature, to freedom from it. Medium published my new article, It Takes Two to Disagree. November 16th is the International Day for Tolerance. It seems as though a day of tolerance has never been more apropos. At the same time, with politicians and journalists openly calling to remove dissenters from society and even to burn them down because if there are survivors, they will do it again, it seems as though tolerance has never been more wishful thinking. All the views, even the most extreme, need their day in the sun. In the end, they deepen and broaden our understanding of ourselves as human beings. But now, I believe we've seen enough of the negative side of human nature, and it's time to harness the diversities between us, to the benefit of all of humanity. Intolerance seems to come in waves. Whenever intolerance rises beyond a certain level, violence breaks out in one form or another. Now it seems we're quickly heading toward another peak in intolerance, and unless we handle it better than before, it will erupt just as past waves have. And if history can teach us anything, it is that the peaks grow higher each time, and the resulting violence more horrific. We need to understand that human nature isn't growing more tolerant, but more extremist and fanatic. As a result, when one side speaks of annihilating the other side, as is the case today, it will attempt to do so physically. There is no question of if, but only of when. When both sides speak in these terms, it will lead to war. Today, speaking about anything that resembles friendship, amicability, togetherness, or even merely tolerance arouses forgiving smiles, at best. More likely, such words will be met with due sarcasm, because nothing is less realistic today than to ask people to be tolerant to one another. Moreover, as time goes by, it will become even more unlikely. Human nature is dynamic, evolving toward increasing individualism, and therefore intolerance toward others. Today, individualism has reached such levels that there are more families with one parent living at home than with two, and nearly 30% of households are single-person households. In such a state, is it hard to imagine that many people don't want anyone around them? If this trend remains, the American democracy will soon be a thing of the past. To avert what seems like an inevitable fate, we must adopt radical thinking. Each of us must realize that the person I want dead, the person who disagrees with me, actually holds my lifeline. Without that person, I will not be who I am, what I am, and I will not be at all. It does not mean I have to agree with the person I can't stand, but simply that our disagreement is what keeps us going, and it takes two to disagree. Nature, which develops all creations, fashions them into plants and plant-eating animals, or animals that eat plants and animals that eat other animals. All of them depend on one another, though clearly none of them particularly likes the other. Likewise, human nature drives all of us to develop. It fashions us into different people, who clearly don't like each other, but who are dependent on each other just as animals are dependent on each other for their survival. We wouldn't have fascists if we didn't have communists, we wouldn't have secular if we didn't have religious, and we wouldn't have moderates if we didn't have extremists. We are defined by what we aren't, no less, if not more, than we are defined by what we are. The difference between animals and humans is that we can see, analyze, and appreciate the fabric that nature has created. If we could look at the big picture and see that we, humanity, form a diverse fabric that is just as beautiful as nature's wildlife, we wouldn't be at each other's throats. On the contrary, We would appreciate and value the differences, which we would then refer to as diversity. Everything is needed for its own time. All the views, even the most extreme, need their day in the sun. In the end, they deepen and broaden our understanding of ourselves as human beings. But now, I believe we've seen enough of the negative side of human nature, and it's time to harness the diversities between us, to the benefit of all of humanity. Humankind has championed countless ideologies. Now it's time to champion the ideology of unity, which states that whatever you believe in and support, keep it, it is yours, and add it to the fabric of humanity. Only a society that places unity as its top value can tolerate diverse views within it, give them their rightful place, and use them to strengthen and improve all of society. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, how can we bridge the political divide in America? Bridging the divide in America requires everyone feeling considered and represented, and not like it is in the current state, where roughly half of the country celebrates victory, and the other half feels deceived and embittered. People of all political orientations need to sit and discuss their issues. However, to successfully unite above divisions, the conversation needs to adhere to a few guidelines, like making sure all participants feel equally important in the discussion, focus on certain issues at hand and not sway from them, express their opinion on the issues, do not argue, criticize or make judgmental statements, and listen genuinely to everyone's input. By doing so, participants would aim to reach decisions after taking everyone's points into consideration. It is important in such a conversation that everyone states their position, and it is not expected that anyone make any concessions in doing so. Also, the round setup of this conversation would certify that no single viewpoint dominates the others, as doing so would shatter the desired unification into pieces, rendering zero progress. Rather, through each participant having the time to express their full viewpoint and each holding to the aforementioned rules, which include listening to all of the viewpoints, then the participants will reach a certain kind of balance. How does it work that a conversation that is made to accord to the aforementioned guidelines will reach a certain kind of balance, and is capable of bridging divisions? It is because those guidelines stem from nature's unified form, and if we hold ourselves to them, we will gain support from nature, because nature ultimately functions in order to draw us to greater unification. If we fail to uphold those guidelines in our discussions, and aim to impose our own viewpoint over those of others, then we gain no support from nature's unified form, and remain in our inborn natures that naturally sway one way or another. We have been implanted with various divisive stances from nature precisely in order that we connect upon them and discover a harmonious reality by doing so. We thus need to have unification, the bridging of our divides, as a goal and high in importance when approaching such a conversation, otherwise we will fall victim to our divisive drives that perceive and sense a narrower picture than the much greater one that exists when we unify above them. What would make us want to rise above our divisive stances in the first place? Why can we not continue trying to overpower the other side and implement how we think things should be run? It is because, ultimately, the underlying division does not let anyone become satisfied, and the longer we develop while remaining divided, then the more negative and bitter we become. In extreme cases, each pushing his or her divisive position onto others can lead us to total disorder and turmoil, to unfortunate levels of suffering that would force us to revise how we conduct ourselves. We would thus be wise to raise the importance of uniting above our divisions so that it becomes our primary concern, and realize that what stands between a life of suffering or harmony for everyone is whether we can carefully organize ourselves in order to bridge those divisions. The laws of nature are on our side and will support us, if we do. At the beginning of creation, line and circle. First, the light creates the desire to receive through the four stages of direct light and fills it. But the last fourth stage of desire makes a restriction, and the light goes out of all the spheres of this desire, from all its stages. And then the fourth stage begins to attract light by a special method called line. The difference between a round sphere and a line is that there were no restrictions in the sphere and light could fill all the desire created by the Creator. And in the line, the desire itself determines in what form the light will come and fill it. The circle is the filling of desire without any restrictions, and the line is the condition that the light comes only according to the desire and the desire restricts the light, leaving only a thin line from the sphere. From this we can see that in the four stages of direct light there is no creation yet, and everything exists as created by the Creator. But then the desire to enjoy begins to manifest itself and limits the upper light, determining how the light can fill it and connect with it. At first, all the spheres, 0, 1, 2, 3, and 4, were completely filled with light. But then the fourth stage felt itself receiving and opposite to the light. So it restricted its desire, and the light was gone. But since nothing is done in the spiritual by halves, the light has departed all spheres. And now the fourth stage itself decides in what form the light will come and fill it, and decides not only for itself but also for all other spheres. And it turns out that all this empty space, all the spheres are cut only by one thin ray, line, one sector of light. It is like a tube through which light flows, passing outside from the world of Ein Sof to the center of all spheres, inside all space, where the restriction operates. The line is an extent of the equivalence of the desire to receive of the creation to the desire to bestow of the Creator. The line shows how much the creation is able to resemble the Creator. The more similar to the Creator the creation can be, the thicker the line, and the less similar, the thinner the line. And this determines how much light can flow through this tube. The line is a measure of a creature's desire to become like the Creator. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson November 9, 2020, Baal HaSulam, The Study of the Ten Sefirot. The Times of Israel published my new article The True Meaning of Tolerance. Which does this world resemble more, a peaceful garden or a jungle with wild predators devouring each other? Most likely the latter. At the same time, clashes and division are rampant in the United States as well as the rest of the planet. The UN's International Day for Tolerance is commemorated. But unless we explore what tolerance truly means, there will be no implementation. Understanding and mastering the art of listening to and embracing one another is what will give us the tools to flip polarization into balance. Tolerance is respect, acceptance and appreciation of the rich diversity of our world's cultures, our forms of expression and ways of being human, states the UN Declaration of Principles on Tolerance. The ideals of those words are important, but marking a special day for tolerance on the calendar is meaningless if we do not educate humanity first about the essence of what this premise means and how to put it in practice in our daily lives. Otherwise, tolerance becomes an empty word. Similar situations exist with other commemorations such as the International Women's Day. Have we ever heard people receiving lessons during their early upbringing, in kindergarten or in school, on how to respect women or even the most basic principles of how to respect and love their mother? I have no such recollection. Therefore, our education is lacking as we fail to engrave core values into the social fabric. The word for tolerance in Hebrew is sovlanut, from the verb lib, to suffer, as if we need to endure or suffer the opinions of others. However, in that sense, there is no need to tolerate but instead to embrace one another. The suffering we experience stems from the fact that our vision is self-centered and is unable to feel others, particularly those who are different from us. We should rather accept and feel the other as ourselves, his opinions and feelings, even if they are contrary to ours. We should base our human relationships on the principle that everyone has a place in society, and should recognize that difference and diversity create a colorful and wonderful mosaic. Nature created us this way so we would come to realize how the richness of opinions from diverse minds empowers everyone. If only we knew how to properly integrate the myriad pieces of the human cogwheels, then we would see how each one is indispensable for the synchronized and well-oiled mechanism called creation. But why have we become increasingly reticent over the years to even look each other in the eye, let alone to properly communicate and connect? The reason is tied to our constantly growing ego that nature develops within us, our insatiable drive to fulfill our own desires to the detriment of others. The more the ego grows, the less calm we become. Aggravation, intolerance, and mutual rejection are all states that nature compels us to feel in order to enable us to recognize our human egoistic approach as the cause of the turbulence in our lives, and by reaching a dead end in our ability to get along with others, to develop a sincere new desire to rise above the ego. The evolutionary process moves humanity from deeper levels of conflict to higher states of balance and cooperation. Human society is coming to a point where extreme social polarization will inevitably bring about a higher level of social organization. There is no escape from learning how to unite above opposing sides, not by eliminating the opposites, but rather by balancing them to create a higher understanding. Therefore, in order to avoid social catastrophe, we will have to foster a new mindset and establish an entirely new model of socio-political order, one that can accommodate opposite views to achieve social stability rather than perpetuate and deepen social division. In nature, the foundational urge operating within all living organisms is to find the coexistence and interplay between two opposite forces, creating a higher level of order and prosperity. Evolution brings opposites together through dynamic equilibrium. Knowledge about how this principle of the inner system of nature works, the force that operates and controls everything in reality, is our only anchor in the changing world. Bringing people of different views closer to each other in order to reach new levels of mutual understanding should be the ultimate goal of today's societies. When this takes place, our differences will remain, but in a complementary way, for collective benefit. Then real tolerance will occur, understood as comprehension, acceptance, and brotherhood. As Kabbalist Rav Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam, wrote in his essay The Freedom, each individual should maintain the integrity of their inheritance, and the contradiction and oppositeness between them will remain forever, to secure the criticism and progress of wisdom, which is the major advantage of humanity. Why is there no desire to work? Remark: it happens that a person has potential, is talented, but does not have motivation to do a certain type of work, although he could do it. In my opinion, there is no such thing in nature. If an animal has some potential, it uses it in full. My comment: but they have animalistic motivation, so there are no problems there. Animals, as a rule, cannot have such a state as depression, lack of motivation. True, they began to display this as well lately, but only because they receive everything from man. However, this is not inherent in them by nature. Question: what is the reason that a person can have potential, have abilities but no motivation? Answer: because a person grows above his animalistic state and nature demands precisely motivated actions from him. What do I live for? This is the question where the lack of motivation and all the negative problems come from. From CAB TV's Management Skills, August 28, 2020. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, September 27, 2020. Question: when are you happy in your soul? Answer: when people understand that they are living in an eternal, perfect world and that it is only because of their limited vision that they cannot see it. Question: let's imagine a hypothetical situation in which you meet yourself in a different reality. What would you ask yourself? Answer: generally speaking, This is what I am trying to do. There is nothing new there. The fact is that when you meet yourself, there is nothing to ask since you coincide in desires, opinions, and everything else, otherwise you would not meet. Question: how do you seek answers to your questions? Answer: I try to be detached from myself and join the flow of the thought of creation that is above us. This is where I get the feeling, the information, and everything I need. From Cab TV's Kabbalah Express, September 27, 2020. Equality and diversity. Question: there are several conditions for people to unite. First, there must be social sensitivity, that is, a tendency to unite. Second, the presence of women in the team is needed, and third, absence of a declared leader. Under these three conditions, a group of people can unite and solve a problem that lies on a higher plane. The intelligence of individual group members is secondary. Equality and diversity are what make it possible to make the best decision in a team. Why should both of these factors be present at the same time? Answer: if two opposites are able to unite above their egoistic qualities and goals, then between them they reach a new collective quality, which is already higher than both of them? Question: does it mean that individuals must be very different but equal in relation to the goal they want to achieve? Answer: yes. Therefore, they achieve hundreds of times more. From Cab TV's Communication Skills, September 25, 2020. Mercy, justice, and peace. Inanimate nature, plants, and animals live according to their natural instincts. If there are good external conditions, they multiply, and if conditions worsen, they wither. Man, however, adjusts the environment to his needs, changes it to make it more comfortable. If conditions are bad, man improves them, brings water to places where there is no water, lights a fire to make himself warmer, and even invents the refrigerator. He creates good conditions for himself. If man did not create a favorable environment to live in, there would not be 8 billion people on Earth today. Over the past 100 years, the world's population has quadrupled. There is no such rapid population growth in nature. But people strive to change nature, the inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature that surrounds them, in order to build a comfortable environment according to their egoistic interests. There are no other such species in nature. Animals make their lives comfortable to some extent. They dig holes for themselves and even store food for the winter. But unlike people, they do not build power plants, gas stations, etc., but use only those forces they have received from nature without intending to improve and refine them in order to use them to build a more perfect world. Only man is capable of such a thing. If humanity would advance correctly using all the resources given to us by nature, we will be able to rid ourselves of all problems. Through the correct connection between people, it is possible to correct our nature and come to a beautiful life. Humanity is trying instinctively to use four qualities for building a society: mercy, justice, truth, and peace, but we see that the current state of society is the result of the incorrect use of these four principles. If we learn how to use these principles, mercy, justice, truth, and peace, correctly, we will be able to receive all the benefits. These are the four foundations that distinguish man from beast, and with their help we build human society. In the inanimate, vegetative, and animate world, there is no such concept as society. Although there are such communities as a close-knit anthill or a flock, everything works on the basis of instinct, controlled by nature. But if a person wants a good life, then this is impossible without a properly organized society. Therefore, we must implement the four principles: mercy, justice, truth, and peace. Truth is the most certain principle, but the problem is that we do not know it. Truth is the name of the Creator, Imeh, the letters Aleph Mem Dao. Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet, in the middle mem is the quality of bina, and the ending tav is the last letter of the alphabet. This is how we received the truth, the name of the Creator. With this word, these letters, the upper force created all the creation. But we cannot govern human society by the quality of truth. So instead of truth, we use mercy, justice, and peace to somehow get closer to the truth. Truth is complete bestowal, the nature of the Creator. Yet, since we are not able to act according to the quality of bestowal, called truth, we try in some way to get closer to it in order not to eat each other. These auxiliary principles are called mercy, justice, and peace. These are not perfect principles, but in the absence of choice, we have to follow them in order to maintain a more or less normal relationship between us. From the third part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, November 10, 2020, Writings of Balha Sulam, Peace in the World. Michael Leitman, on Quora, can helping others help you find the meaning in life? We need to be well connected in order to find the meaning of life, because life's meaning can truly be found above our current life. Therefore, we can attain the meaning of life by exiting ourselves, which is possible by connecting to others, wishing for their benefit above our own personal benefit. Our self-serving desires block the sensation of life's meaning. They seek self-fulfillment at the expense of others and nature, and such fulfillment dissolves upon our reception of it. By exiting ourselves and connecting to others in a way where we end up feeling others' desires as our own, we then start seeing a much greater life open up. It is a life outside the limits of our personal narrow desires, and inside the desires of others, desires ready to be fulfilled at every moment. In other words, we find the meaning of life by being inside others. We need a special kind of positive connection in order to attain the meaning of life, to become awakened above our individual narrow perceptions. In other words, we discover life's meaning in the same direction by which life comes and enters us. Conditions of information perception. Question: there are several ways to improve your listening skills. First, it's recommended to avoid distractions, especially now with virtual learning. It comes to the point that many people simply turn off their screens. What do you advise here? Answer: it is necessary to constantly start discussions, have questions and answers, conduct role-playing games, in general, everything that can be done to turn the learners into participants of the event. Remark: second, it is advised to clarify what you have heard. The lecturer should always ask some questions. My comment: yes, this is the basis for conducting workshops. Question: moreover, questions should be asked openly in order to ensure understanding of the rest of learners. Normally, you require students to concentrate on the questions of the other friends. For what purpose are you doing this? Answer: if a student speaks in accordance with the subject, it does not matter how he formulates the question, because the answer is still relevant for everyone. Therefore, there are no stupid, simple, unnecessary, or extraneous questions if people ask in accordance with the subject. Sometimes I answer them harshly. For example, today at the lesson one student asked me something that we learn in the first or second Kabbalah lesson. And there were people who have been studying for 20 years. Therefore, I answered him harshly that one should read the primary sources. Question: it is also believed that information is transmitted to the listener through the speaker's posture. Do you think it's important to look at someone's face and nod your head? Answer: today, when we are dealing with distance learning, I don't think it is that important. Well, what can I transmit with my body? I sit in one position for 3 hours and transmit information. In practice, it is a broadcasting head. From CabTV's Communication Skills, August 14, 2020. Hear and see. Question: There are several forms of receiving information. If a person listens to a teacher at a university in order to gain knowledge, this is one thing. If he listens to a friend talking about a dramatic situation in the family and empathizes with him, this is different. And third, a person listens to his like-minded friend in the group in order to unite with him and reveal the plan of nature. Is there any difference between these situations? Answer: The difference is huge. Especially when friends are trying to achieve the highest goal of nature because it unites them. Everyone works against themselves to connect with others. There is already a clear classic communication, above your egoism, when you must necessarily rise above yourself in order to connect with another and with him feel how you penetrate into a third thing, into the very structure of the universe. Question: What does see and hear mean in spirituality? Is this a special level of communication? Answer: Hearing is a work of bestowal. Seeing is the transition from bestowal to reception for the sake of bestowal. Remark: Even the primary sources say, "And they heard the voice of the Lord." Answer: Yes. There are those who hear, that is, work in the light of Hasidim. And there are people who actually see, they work in the light of Hochmah. From CapTV's Communication Skills, August 14, 2020. New Life 460. The Law of Nationalism, An Identity Crisis, Part 1.
Hello everyone, thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. Hello everyone. Hello Nitzamazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Rav Lightman about a topic that really stirs up the Israeli nation and also individuals around the world. The nation, the law of the Jewish nation, so to speak, to make it a Jewish state. Rav says, as if it's not enough what we already have, we have to stir up things a bit more. So, okay, this is something that is really raising a lot of questions and a lot of voices in the Israeli nations, in the Israeli nation. So this is a law that, the nationality law that determines that the Israeli state is the state of the Jewish people. And this law also determines that the land of Israel is the historical homeland of the Jewish people. And actually around this is the whole discussion. Now, it's interesting to say that to this day, everything was actually around the Declaration of Independence, and never something was written in an orderly fashion. And this law that is being discussed now, it is in order to make these things, first write them down and to make them very clear. And it's important to point out that part of the people, they say that the ideas and these principles are gradually are being lost in the country, outside the country, and as if it really shakes up the foundations on which this country is built on. So we'll go over the laws later on, we'll discuss them. Maybe it's important to point out one more topic, that it is clear that this is something that comes up to public discussion for different reasons, but for political reasons and so on. But this is something that we won't want to discuss. We'd like to discuss the essence of the things. And we're asking very basic questions. So the first question maybe would be, why? Why, beyond the political reason, why now? Is this question awakening, or the question around the identity, our identity of the Jewish people awakening now in our society? When we lived in the diaspora, We have no such question. We knew that we're Jews. This is our place. And sit quietly, make your business, live your life, and we're dispersed all over the world. When we came here, when the opportunity was given to return, let's call it the land of Israel, nevertheless, then here awakens the question, according to which law can we live? We don't have the holiness of the land. The holiness of the land exists as long as the temple exists. So there's no holiness. There's no relation to the soil itself as to the land of Israel. It's all still, it all still exists in a kind of a, in such terms that are in the future to come. Maybe the Messiah will come, some believe, or we'll get along between ourselves somehow in a different way. But if we go back to our roots, then we have to correctly search. What is the definition of the land of Israel, the people of Israel, being Jewish, and against that, the nations of the world, and so on and so forth. How is our constitution any different than the constitution of any other country in the world? And clearly that there is a big difference between the people of Israel and any other nation. We see it according to the behavior toward us, according to what's going on in the world, the relation, the attitude we get from the world won't help us whether we're here or dispersed all over the world. We see that wherever we are, even we are, if we are beyond the borders of Israel, we're being treated in a very special way, very specific way. We're punished for causing harm in the world. I just saw now, with respect to, in Ferguson, that the police officer shot the Afro-American teenager. There you can see all down the street it says that it's all because of Israel and the dispute between the Israelis and the Palestinians. It's very interesting that in anything and everything, the things that completely have nothing to do with us, they want to turn it in our direction. And it was always this way. And accordingly, we can see how things repeat themselves and they have the same direction, same nature. And therefore we have to understand what's going on with us. We already talked about it many times. What is the source of anti-Semitism in the world? That comes as a result of us being a special nation. It is a nation that was founded by Abraham according to the law of love another as thyself, and according to this rule we have to behave toward one another in brotherly love. Don't do to others what you hate. Love another as thyself. All of Israel are friends, and so on and so forth. It is the condition of the Arvut, connection, mutuality, where each one actually is for everyone and everyone cares for each and everyone else. This is the condition under which Abraham collected his students from all over Babylon 3,500 years ago and put together the group that in time became a nation. But actually it's not a nation. It's that very group of Abraham that he put together out of all the citizens of Babylon who wanted to join him, that he told them that we have to go toward brotherly love, regardless of who you are, what you are. I'm not asking where did you come to, who are your parents, what nation you belong to. Doesn't matter. If you want to cover with love all that separates us, so we won't engage or deal with what's separating us, but and what unites us, because we want to unite, then we are brothers. We belong to the same nation. We see ourselves as one, not as two. And this is what he taught them. And from here, this is what the nation of Israel was established, based on. And from here we have our Torah. Okay, let's stop for just a moment and understand. You're saying that if there are different perceptions of nationality. There is nationality, ethnic nationality, or by citizenship. This in all nations of the world. Yes, here you specify. You say that the Jewish nation is a special nation because they were founded on the basis, not ethnical, not having to do anything with your origin. Anyone in the world can become Jewish. Anyone. Spanish, Italian, Hindu, from South America, doesn't matter who and what. I want to be Jewish. What does it mean to be Jewish? I want to unite with others. I want to live according to the rule of love. The law of love. Please, join. So were you to define the law, the basis of which the Jewish nation was built upon, you would define it as the law of love. This is the national law, the law of national law. Yes, because the purpose of the people of Israel and the rest of the world is to bring everyone to that one rule of love another as thyself, that there is no difference, no distance between one another. That this is the purpose of creation. This is what we all have to come to. This is called to be light for the nations, that we explain it to the world and we help all nations to progress toward this ideal. Yeah, but before we explain it to others, probably we have to explain it to ourselves. Surely. And I think that with respect to the question that I asked previously, why does it awaken specifically now, you pointed out one of the reasons, the increasing anti-Semitism. No, what? That now it's, right for the politicians, maybe, because once again, all over the world, there are very broad anti-Semitic events, the whole world, comes with a claim to the people of Israel. Why are they holding on to a piece of land that doesn't belong to them? And if so, then according to some partition, and plenty of people don't agree with this partition, if we'll go and vote now in the UN, do the Jewish people deserve a land or not? Then for sure, most of the countries in the world, they will say that no, they do not deserve a land. So you're saying that there is a gap, a difference between the situation today and the situation where back then. Yes, back then it was, yes, they felt themselves a bit uncomfortable, unpleasant after the Holocaust. Yeah, because of the Holocaust, because of their attitude. And all in all, it's a matter of the higher providence, that this is how history, the forces that work in human society and in our world, in our universe, this is how these things were set. We should have received this country. But we should have made it into our country, to make this land a holy land. That a building here, not a collection of the diaspora, but a nation of Israel, which is connected, united, targeted, Yashar Kel, Israel, Yashar Kel, meaning aimed straight at the Creator, meaning to direct ourselves in direction of love and unity, one, to be as one man and one heart. If we were to build our nation this way, then certainly we wouldn't have gone through this history of our 66, 67 years. But there is not a single moment in our life that we live quietly, peacefully, and were content with. On the contrary, the people living here in Israel, they actually is planning to escape. When we look at the need of defining ourselves, our identity, it brings up any questions, because we're here for many years now. We know what this country was based on, and from time to time, I'm not saying that it happens all the time, but from time to time, these essential questions rise, as if these things aren't 100% clear, neither to us nor to others. Clearly. Why is there the lack of this clarity in our definition? Because we're in a state, like all the nations of the world, we want to be like the nations of the world, and then to define our country like any other nation defines its country. And the soil, the land, the borders, the essence of the nation and the country, and doesn't work here. It doesn't stick. Because we don't have the right fulfillment as a result. We don't feel as a result we're really in our state. That our country has to be defined this way, that our nation has to be defined this way, and that each one among the nation has to look this way. Meaning we are not the people of Israel. We're not in the land of Israel. We're not in the country of Israel according to our sources, according to our basis. But we have taken what's going on in other nations, and we want to make it stick to us, and it doesn't. This tape falls off every time. It doesn't work. We just exist without defining things. And also the whole world doesn't understand what's going on here. Something artificial. Well, they live, okay, but it's not that. It's also not that we feel that this is our place. However much they cry out there, those in Judea and Samaria, and that people really shed blood in order to revive Israel, but we ourselves still don't understand what does it mean. Nation, country, people. So in order to understand these definitions a bit better that are truly our essence. What does it mean? A nation. Let's start with a nation. Bala Sulami writes about it beautifully in the Nation newspaper. I think in the 40s. In the 40s, he published a newspaper once, and immediately it was closed, this newspaper. And there he writes what is a nation, what is a nationality, and why do we need these original roots of ours after 2,000 years of exile? That today we live in a completely different state. How come we need to turn to history, to the primitive history that was once? Yeah, it's like we're modern. What point is there looking back? And also the whole world is behaving this way. I see in Africa, come people, teach them religion. Other people come and teach them agriculture. Other people come and teach them the laws of the state that should be. I see in Africa, There are rabbinical judges in Africa sitting all dressed up as Orthodox Jews, and they're judging according to Jewish laws. How could that be? What's going on here? Meaning there, yes, there it cleaves on and it works and they do it and no one makes fun of them and no one says anything against it, but everyone understands that, yeah, they can accept it, no problem. It's like Columbus's ships came to America, to the countries of America, South America, and passed on to all the Indians that were there, the Indian tribes, they passed on to them their culture. Even though that it was with blood, with the war, but eventually it was really the accepting a foreign culture with the language, with everything. They don't remember their original language. They all speak Spanish, and they have a Spanish culture and a Spanish religion, Catholic, and that's how it is with everyone. So why we, after 2,000 years, can't we establish ourselves this way? It doesn't work. We are incapable of accepting anything from the nations of the world, but on the contrary, we're set so that the nations of the world have to receive from us, and it doesn't depend on us. And it's not being, condescending or anything, but it's simply so that the nations of the world, they consider us as a smart nation, as a developed nation, as a nation that bears inside it the purpose of life, the essence of life. They say they have a kind of a secret that they don't want to tell us, but all of them keep inside themselves a certain secret, and we have to make them spit it out, so to speak. They have this kind of a feeling. And we have to understand, what do they want from us? That really, what secret is there? No one knows. If I would know what kind of secret, then I'd go and sell it and maybe get a nice sum for it. But no, there's no such thing. So what we accumulate inside ourselves, what we keep inside ourselves, what exists inside us that we don't know, but against our will, it exists in the people of Israel. It's that very goal, that very exalted, big, nice, great, appealing, shining goal that is called the future of the world. That all of our world is advancing toward that form in which we were in the past, and we have to reach that form once again, which is to live together and love another, and love another as thyself, according to those principles that we got during the state of Mount Sinai, to live in reciprocal avud, the global integral world that we feel ourselves living in, that we feel that it's all interconnected. It's demanding the existence of this law, the law of the avud, because we depend on each other. And then if we will open this umbrella of our avud above our ego, we will reach a world that is truly heaven. So we are now in a period in time where the world is starting to turn to us more and more and demand, I don't know why and how, but to demand from us a law for the life of tomorrow. Because today's life seems to the whole world from day to day unbearable. Without a future, without hope, without the picture of tomorrow. And they feel subconsciously that this answer exists among the Jews. Therefore, all the anti-Semites in the world, the anti-Semitism in the world is flourishing, grabbing millions and millions more people, and it comes in order to obligate us to ask about the form that we have to be. And were we to really come back to our sources, we would have realized the nation of Israel, Yashar Kel, towards love and unity. We would have lived according to this law of love another as thyself, all as one man and one heart, all in unity, all friends. Then we would have set an example for the world. And besides the example, we would have really taught them how to do it. And by this, the world would understand that we are the special part of the world, that you have to learn from us. And there is what to learn, that it is the future, it is the savior for all of humanity. And besides, not for this temporary life in each and every generation, that these few dozens of years that this nation exists for, but it's raising the whole world to a new degree, to the state of the whole eternal, complete, perfect world, where our ego eats itself up and therefore our entire life of 70, 80 years and so on, whereas if we move, if we cross from the will to receive to the will to bestow, where each one lives inside for the nation with his heart open, caring for everyone, here we can find completely different laws of nature, of bestowal and love, and then we suddenly move on to an eternal, whole and complete life. We start opening up in our world the ability to live without any limitation in time and space and motion. We'll start perceiving that the world is unlimited. Therefore, this demand toward us that we call it anti-Semitism, it will grow more and more. We will not be able to get rid of it. But on the contrary, we will have to give an answer for it. And we will nonetheless have to cope with it. And we'll have to cope with the situation more and more. We'll have to open up the problem of the nationality, like it's being evoked today, but not in a way that we feel like doing it one way or another, and let's learn from different rules, laws of the Turkish, of the English, but we have to take the Torah and take everything from there. What Kabbalists said back then from the days of Abraham and on, throughout all the generations, who are the people of Israel? What is the state of Israel? Who is a Jew? And what does it mean to be a Jew? And open ourselves up to the whole world. Let's extend the borders of our country to the entire world. That anyone who wants to exist in the law of love and connection, he comes under the umbrella of love, under the umbrella of bestowal. And please, it's like it says that the boundaries of the land of Israel extend, and this border is vast, extended all over earth. Meaning the land of Israel is not a territory. It's not a territory, then what is the land of Israel? The land of Israel is the place where people live under the law of love. That's it. According to the law of love. Is there a land of Israel at the moment? No, because land, Eretz in Hebrew, it comes from the word ratzon, desire, that if there is the law of love between people and they keep it, then what happens between them, the mutual desire between them, is called desire, the desire of Israel, Yashal Kel, meaning that by this we want to become like the upper force, and this is what we have to come to. This is what we have to write, this is what we have to define, this is what we have to keep, and this is what we have to give to all nations. Then truly, from the state where we feel hatred toward us, we will feel love, honor, like we feel it among our students in all nations, among all the world that exists all over Earth, in our framework that exists, really. Thousands and hundreds of thousands all over the world, we see how devoted they are. The moment we teach them how to be connected in order to achieve the upper force. Our time is up. Rav Lightman, thank you very much. We'd like to have further discussions on this topic. Thank you very much. Nitza, thank you for being with us. Land of Israel, place where there is love. Till next time, all the best.